and your life.
All right. Shalom, everyone. We are here, Rishon Messianic Bible Club, and we are going to get into the Word today. We're going to get into a couple of things that I wanted you to know in Hebrew. And my studies now, and I left the book in the car, my studies now is this importance of the 19th book and why God put Psalms as the 19th book of the Bible to prophesy us into this last 120 years and this all the events that happened in the 1900, meaning the rebirth of the nation of Israel, the Six-Day War, the UN speech, the 1917 Balfour Accord, the 1914 World War, the end of, I mean, everything happened in the 1900s, prophetic toward Israel. And my job is to keep studying and keep searching and keep growing in Christ. And what I want to do is make sure that I study out the importance of the number 19th. 10, I know, is perfect order, and 9 is judgment. So perfect order of judgment, whew, that sounds pretty on point. So where we're headed. So let's get started today. We're going to first pray, and I'm going to still go with the Shema prayer. I was thinking maybe I wouldn't go with the Shema prayer because I really like the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord's Prayer is like, you know, make heaven just like, you know, come down and make the kingdom come, you know, thy kingdom come.
Yes.
And that, you know, that's my, that's why it's my favorite prayer. And then, so I started doing the Shema prayer because the Shema prayer was saying, it tells you how to have a relationship with God. It tells you what God expects out of you. Shema prayer is Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Vehavata Adonai Eloha Bekol Levavaka Uko Nefishka Uko Mechodeka, which God's saying, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And that is the relationship that God wants with us. He does not want this lukewarm relationship. Now they're saying, look at Pastor Sandy, he has his tallit on. He was just talking to us last night about the Hebrew roots. And now he's got a tallit on. Is he getting confused? No, I'm not. I can enjoy Hebrew because all of the Old Testament scriptures and all of the feast days and everything, even this tallit right here, is all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes. And God told them to make this, you know. And so I wear this tallit all the time. I wear it with pride because I know it's a garment that God told them to make. Yes. They taught me how to put it on when I was at the synagogue. You got to take the tzitzit, put it in front, and then you throw the other tzitzit in the back, and therefore you got Yad Heh Vav Heh. God is covering my front and my back.
Yeah.
And so this is how you're actually supposed to wear it, okay? If I don't know how to wear it, does it make me not a Christian? No. You know what I mean? So I'm very, very much understanding that learning Hebrew is just a way to teach us all the greatness that Jesus Christ fulfilled when he came into this world. We today are going to be in the first, I want to say the first, the 4, 5, and 6 of the book of Revelation, okay? I want people to understand that the rapture is still the next great event for mankind, okay? It is not the 2020 election. The next great event for mankind, whether you are Christian or not, Amen. Is going to be the rapture, okay? That is the next event that happens in the world that's going to change everything.
Yes.
And so I don't want us as Christians to forget that fact that there is going to be a rapture. I don't know if the people who did that video, rather they understand that there is a rapture, or rather they understand what time and dates we're living in, but they need to understand that the world is going to change, and being the most viewed on YouTube will not matter to you then, okay?
Amen.
All right, so let's...
Revelation what, Pastor?
We're going to be in Revelation. Well, let's just say Revelation 1, because I want to make sure I read that one scripture first. Then we'll go to Revelation 4, and then we'll go to Revelation 5, then we'll go to Revelation 6. But what I'm going to do is be trying to set this whole thing up so you can see exactly what's going to happen, okay?
Yeah, Revelation so, chapter 1.
Yes. But before we do that, we have to pray in. And so here's the Shema prayer. And why am I saying the Shema prayer? I want to remind you, what? That God expects your whole heart, okay? He expects all of your strength, all of your might, all of your soul. He expects everything in the relationship. I'm trying to explain to Christians, you did not find religion, you found a relationship.
Yes.
And we all know, when we find relationship, we don't want anybody to be in a relationship with us doing it halfway,
right?
Because we feel cheated. And so since this is a relationship, you don't want God to feel cheated.
Amen.
You want to make sure that, hey, you know, I'm calling you to just tell you I love you. I'm calling you. You know, you're buying flowers. You're doing all kinds of stuff because you're on fire and you're in love. Well, the relationship continues. And you got to always be giving your best to have a great relationship.
Amen.
And so this relationship is awesome. And let's get started. Let's do the Shema prayer. And if you don't have the Shema prayer, get a hold of me and I'll send it to you if you don't know how to find it on your own, so that you can read it with like English words so you can pronounce the words correctly.
Amen.
All right. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Vehavata et Adonai Elocha, Bekov Levavaka, Uvkol Nefishka, Uvkol Mehodeka. Vehayu Hadevarim Haeli Asher Noki Mishvacha Hayom Al Levavaka. Veshanatam Levanecha, Vedebarter Bam Beshiftika, Tvetika Uletika Viderech, Ushakvika Ukumaka. Ushatam Laot Al Yadecha. Vehayu letutafot bain ayaneka, uftaftam al mizuzot betecha uvijareka. And so let's read this in English. Hear Israel, the Lord your God is one. The word here is shma, which means to hear and obey at the same time, okay? So shma means hear and obey. As a matter of fact, you ask somebody, how do you say listen in Hebrew? They'll say shma. Okay, how do you say obey? And they'll go shma. It's the same word. So I'm just letting you know, okay? So hear Israel. It says, hear Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Then you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Let these words which I command you today be upon your heart. Repeat them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your arm and let them be for a frontlet between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach, Anaknu Tefillim, Baruch HaYom, and let's get into this study.
Now, one thing before you start.
Yes.
Someone wants to know, what is firmament?
Firmament? The firmament, all I can say is the sky, okay? Hard to explain the firmament, but the firmament is basically the sky. So... God covered the firmament with, well, what we see as the sky is what God covered. It is the covering. It's hard to explain the firmament because it's covered and we don't really see it all. I mean, one day the firmament is going to roll back, mm-hmm. the scripture says, okay? The sky is going to roll back like a scroll. And then we will see and we will know. And even it says that the great men of the earth will say, after the sky rolls back, hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne. Okay? For the day of the Lord's vengeance is at hand. So one day the firmament will roll back like a scroll.
Would that be back in heaven or what we call outer space?
This is what, you know, we call the sky, right? We see the sky. God knows. I put that there because there's some stuff behind here that you don't need to see right now. But one day I've got to roll this back. Because when I come, I'm rolling it back. Okay. All right. In the book of Revelation, we are going to be reading one of my favorite verses. And so it's in Revelation chapter 1. Okay. And let's see, I'm trying to see what's the best spot to start at. Let's start at verse 17. It's always good. 17 is good in Hebrew, so let's start there. And, of course, Christ appears to John, and Christ says this, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, of the seven golden lampstands is this." This is the mystery. "The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches." That's pretty cool. We have seven angels that are watching over the seven churches. Okay. And it says, "And the lampstand are the seven churches." Okay. So the menorah lamp, the seven menorah lamp, that lampstand is the seven churches. Okay. While we are on earth, Jesus, if we read earlier, it says Jesus walks in the midst of the seven candles. Yes. Okay. So Jesus is amongst us now as our Lord and Savior through the Holy Spirit. And he walks amongst us through this valley that we're going through till he becomes then the door in Revelation chapter 4. And he calls the candlestick out of the world. So what is the candlestick in the world? It's a light to the whole world. Christianity, Jesus Christ, is the moral light to the whole world. Someone knocked on my door and said they were running for Congress or something in Long Beach. And I have a no soliciting thing on my house. But the guy said something made me ask him, "Why are you?" I said, "So how old are you?" And he said he was 31 or something. I said, "And how old is your wife?" And he says, "Oh, actually, I'm married to a man."
Ooh.
Oh, so that gave opportunity to start witnessing. You understand?
Yeah.
because I had to tell him your lifestyle is going to lead to your death. Okay? And I'm not talking physical. I'm talking about spiritually. Oh, yeah. You're going to spend an eternity in hell if you don't change your lifestyle. Now, I'm talking to him because who's light? I'm light. Okay? I'm part of the churches. Okay? I'm part of the seven churches. So I am light. My job is to be a light in a dark place. Yes. He didn't even know he had to repent. He said he grew up Catholic, and all he knew is that we're all sinners and you just, you know, you do your best and you. No, I said, no. Any relationship with God starts with repentance.
He didn't know.
He said he didn't know. So what I'm trying to say is our job is to be the menorah lamp in the world. Yeah. We are here to be a light. OK.
Pastor Shalom from Johannesburg and Cape Town, South Africa.
Oh, Johannesburg and Cape Town. I love it. I've never been to Africa. I have got to go. That, I mean, I don't know if I have time, but I think if I landed in Africa, as soon as I hit the ground, I think I'd just start crying. Because wow. That is still home to all of us who really know the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. So now Revelation chapter 2, all it does is it speaks to the seven churches. And as it's speaking to the seven churches, it's speaking to the history of the churches that were in the world. It's speaking to the church of Ephesus, which is the first church that began after Christ. It's speaking to the church of Smyrna, which is the second church that was after Christ. It's speaking to the church of Pergamum. And Pergamum means mixed marriage. And then this is when Catholicism mixed with Christianity. And then now you had pagan Babylonian worship along with Christianity, because Constantine made Christianity the legal religion of Rome. And so now you get Pergamus, and God calls Pergamus. And the word Pergamus means defiled mixed marriage. Okay. And that's when that happened. Then you have the church of Thyatira and the church of Sardis. Then you have the church of Philadelphia. And then you have the church of Laodicea, which is the last church that exists before the trumpet blast.
Yes.
Okay, so the last existing church that's in the world, God says that will be the church of Laodicea.
Yes.
It is by depiction from the book of from the story of was it Jacob's the seven children of Rachel and Leah, the seven children, the last of the children was of Leah's children was Rachel, was a daughter, Dinah, I think Dina or Dinah, right? Dinah means judgment. Okay, so the last daughter, they had seven kids, but the last of the seven kids just happened to be a girl named Dinah. And you know what Dinah's problem was?
She wanted to see
see about the joy that the outside world was living, not in the Hebrew camp, but she wanted to go and visit with the world and be amongst the world. And while she was out there visiting amongst the world, she got raped because she didn't realize those people have no morals.
Right.
You've been fine because you've been in your community. But now, since you decided to go out of your community, you're finding out these people have no morals. OK. Horrible thing for a Christian to go to a party and realize it's not the type of party that you thought. You thought people would act a little different. And I've been there, and the Holy Spirit goes, you don't belong here.
Right.
And get out, you know. And so,
and then the guy wanted to marry her.
Yeah, and then so Laodicea becomes that church. It's the weakest of all seven churches. It has a problem that it wants to mingle with the world, and so it becomes the weakest church. So, by definition of Scripture, this last time period of God's church is the weakest church of all the churches.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the mingling church. Okay,
yeah.
And so God in the book of Laodicea, God really lays into her and says, you know, you're this church that you say you have everything you need and you don't need anything. And God says you're poor, blind, and naked.
Yeah.
Okay, so But now, once that church is over, the seventh church is over, it says in chapter 4, it says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. Aleph, Bet, Gamel, Dalit. How do you say door in Hebrew? Dalit. Okay. So, in chapter 4, we see Dalit, the door, and someone standing at the door, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the church is not in heaven at this time. The church is on the earth, but someone is in heaven, okay? Mm-hmm. And he is the door. Now watch this. It says, I looked and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And there it says, and the voice I heard, at first heard, speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. Metatauta means after this, after these things, after the church. Come up here, okay? Now, if you are already in heaven, there's no reason for you to say, God to say, come up here, right? Yeah. So now God says, come up here, okay? And then he says, now I'm going to show you everything, like what's going to happen after this, after the churches. And listen what John says. He says, at once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it or sitting on it. So now John is in heaven. God wants you to know more than that. It's not just John that's in heaven. That's why we must continue to read this. And it says, and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, a rainbow resembling emeralds, encircled in the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24
elders.
Other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. That means everybody's there, okay? Because 12 of those elders are part of the church, and other 12 are part of the tribe of Israel. So we got this 24-seated court in heaven, and now, since the rapture has taken place, guess who gets the resurrected body? Everybody who believes in Jesus. See, we think that Paul and all the apostles are in heaven in their resurrected bodies. They're in heaven in their spiritual bodies. Their time for resurrection hasn't come yet, but they will receive their resurrected bodies when? At the time of the wheat harvest, when the church is gathered, then they who have slept in Christ will be taken up first into heaven, and they will get their resurrected bodies. Yeah. They're waiting for it. They're waiting for this day. You understand? And now those who are walking around in their flesh will be caught up. This is when he says, come up here. To meet the Lord in the air, and we will get raptured and resurrected at the same time. We will land in a resurrected body, okay? And meet with those who have died in Christ in their resurrected bodies. Then Jesus Christ will look at his bride and he will say, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, which means what? You are now like me. I am the second Adam. You are my bride. You are just like me. Welcome to heaven. Okay? Now, once the church, now I got to show you that the church is also there. It says they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Where does the Spirit of God live right now?
In us.
In the body of Christ, in the churches, right? In the church. But now the seven spirits are in heaven. The Spirit has now returned. And the spirit returns, but the spirit can't return to heaven empty-handed.
Right.
That's Eleazar. Returning with who? The seven spirits, the churches. And it says of God. And it says, also before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal.
Yeah. Where are you reading, Pastor
Sam? I'm in Revelation chapter 4. And I just finished reading verse 6. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Okay? Listen, clear as crystal is calm. Nothing rumbling the water. You understand? Mm-hmm. So the church is there at peace with God. Okay? It says here, there were seven lamps blazing. Remember what we just read back in chapter 1? The seven lampstands are what? Are the seven churches. Because God wants you to know in chapter 4, when he says come up here, not only as John goes up, the churches also go up. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and then it begins to talk about what's going on in heaven. They have this crowning ceremony where all 24 elders have these crowns on, and we will receive a crown when we, you know, victory that we've made it.
Yes.
And then the 24 elders take off their crowns and throw them at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Because we realize, and they realize, that there's only true one king. We appreciate the gesture,
yeah,
but we realize, okay, that was a great move of humility, right?
Amen.
So we have a crowning ceremony. So once you get to heaven, there will be a crowning ceremony. Once you get to heaven, there will be a banquet, okay? So this marriage, this crowning ceremony, and this banquet all take place in heaven, okay? Now that we're in heaven, okay, mm-hmm, the crowning ceremony has taken place, the banquet has taken place, okay? We've been shown around, okay? We talked about from the book of Esther. We've been shown the greatness of God's glory. And we're really kind of like on a honeymoon, right?
Uh-huh.
After that, it says in verse 5, in chapter 5, he says, then I looked, he says, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written on both sides and seals with seven and sealed with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seal and open the scroll? No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll and look inside it. I wept and I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Okay. The only way you're going to get a history of what's going on with this scroll is you would have to go back to, I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 31, when there is a scroll because a purchase has been made and there is a scroll and he tells him to hide the scroll, put it away for a later date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This scroll ends up in the hands of the Messiah, right?
Yes.
And he's the only one worthy. And then now you go back and you do a little history into Jewish tradition and you realize when you purchase a land, you get a title deed and it gets sealed with seven seals and on the front and the back. And then you can only find out who the title deed belongs to once you open the seal. But if you illegally open a sealed title and you're not the owner, it is punishable. So now people who don't own the land are not going to open the title deed, because what does the title deed tell? The title deed tells you the truth. If you're lying and you open that seal and that title deed says Jesus, and you open it and it don't say Pastor Ben or Pastor Sandy, then we're in trouble. So as he's looking, they're crying because the redemption of the earth is based on the fact that there's someone here that can redeem earth.
Amen.
Or else they're all lost.
Right.
Jesus says, they say, stand back. The Lion of Judah is able to open the scroll. Why? He's the one who paid the price for the land. He has paid the price in his own blood. You've been redeemed. Now he's got to redeem the land. Okay, and now everything's got to be set back in order. So he begins to open the seals. Okay.
Yes. Pastor, I got a question.
Yes.
This young lady, she says she's confused about what the Trinity is. It sounds like maybe she's had different versions of what the Trinity is, and she wants to know, what is the Trinity?
The Trinity is the Trinity is, yeah, because we to find out what the Trinity is, you go back to Genesis and you're going to have to learn a little Hebrew. So send me your email. OK, send me your email so that I can send you the Hebrew studies, because if you don't know what Elohim is, then you'll start saying, well, Elohim means God, because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, the Hebrew says Bereshi bara Elohim. Now, Elohim is not a singular word for God. It's God's.
Right.
But it's used in Genesis chapter 1 as a singular word. And so you have a singular, a plural word being used in a singular form. It doesn't make sense in English, but in Hebrew it makes sense, because this Elohim is one. This God's is one. Okay. So in God exists his word, his spirit. Okay. And inside of God. So you have the Father, his word, and his spirit all existing. If you go back to Genesis chapter one, it'll say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. After it says that, it says in the second verse, and the Ruach Elohim metahevet alpanei tahom. The spirit of God moved amongst the deeps of the water. Okay. So the spirit of God. So the first verse is God. The second verse is what? The spirit of God. What is the third verse? Then God said.
Yes.
So then the God with the spirit also has his word, and his word speaks and begins to create everything. Okay? So you have the Father, the Word, and the Spirit all being mentioned in the first three verses of the scriptures. Okay? The Word in John chapter 1, verse 1, became flesh.
Yes.
And dwelt among us. Okay? Who was the Word? Jesus. Now, I want to do you a favor. This is an important question, you guys. So stand back on Revelation. This is an important question. If I give you a big jar of water, you say, what's in there? Water. Okay. If I take some of that water and pour it into another smaller jar, is this water in this jar? And or is it any less than the water in the original jar? It's still water, okay? But it's just not in this jar. It's in this jar. So Jesus became flesh, and the Spirit of God was inside of another vessel, okay? But it's still God.
Yeah.
It's still water. When that water did his job here on earth, he sent more water in another vessel called the Holy Spirit. And so now water exists. And see, God showed me water can exist and satisfy people in billions of different places all over the world, because water doesn't have any limitations. We can drink water right here in California, and they can be drinking water in Japan, and guess what? They're both still water.
Yep.
And God said, I can be God in heaven, and I can be God in earth. If we get into physics, man, it'll blow your mind, because even physics are confused as they're trying to find these spirits. There's some spirits that can be in the same place at one time. How is that possible? Okay? But God has the ability. So the Trinity is Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And the Word became flesh, became Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, sent His Spirit. They're still Elohim. They're still one.
Yeah.
So if that doesn't do it for you, send me some stuff. Send me your email so you can begin to learn the Word and learn some Hebrew. Because I find that learning Hebrew really gives a base to the Word of God so you don't get confused on anything.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That was good.
The commercial is over. Let's get back.
Revelation.
Okay, Revelation chapter 6. So now, since Jesus Christ, he says, you are worthy to take the scroll, verse 9. He says, they sang this song, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God. For from every tribe, language, which God created, and people, and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. So not only has God redeemed us, he's saying he redeemed us with his blood, and he says, we are going to go back and reign on the earth with Christ for 1,000 years in the millennium. So he's proclaiming, not only are we there, but also we're going back to reign on the earth. Okay? So all of these rules for a seal has been covered by Jesus because he paid the price. He can open the scroll. And now he opens the first scroll. And of course, who pops out? Let's see, because we're in heaven. Remember, rapture already took place. Wedding ceremony already took place. Banquet already took place. Crowning ceremony already took place. And now he's opening the scroll, and he says, I watch as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, go. And in your Bible, it may say come, but it's the same thing in the Greek. It's the same word. So we can say come or go, but he's telling him, come or go and see, because I want you to see something. He says, I looked, and there before me was a white horse. It had a rider. Okay, its rider held a bow. The Hebrew has the thing of first mention, and the first mention of a bow in scripture is a covenant. Okay? This is Tekiah, which is something that is being birthed forth. So he's coming forth with this covenant, and he's birthing a new era in the world. Who's doing this? A guy in a white horse with a bow, and he says he was given a crown, okay, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Okay. Determined, bent on. He's determined to conquer the people of the earth. That's what the Antichrist's mission is. Okay.
Yeah.
He's determined.
Excellent explanation. She said, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Okay. Oh, look at this. Let me see. Who sent me this? Shelley. I'm going to jack up your last name. Mahui or Mahi or Mahu, okay?
Yeah, I messed that up
big time. But she sent me this great card. I was sitting here looking at this, and I'm going, okay, I haven't read this. I'm just opening this, but I haven't read it, okay? But I'm going to read your card. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And she sent me this plaque right here, which, of course, is going to go on our wall of pride and love, because we thank you for all that you guys do.
Yeah.
It says, we're carrying thoughts, from Shelley. God bless you. All the way from where? Maryland? Are you in Maryland? Let me see where you're from.
Is that Tennessee?
No. Raymond, Mrs. Is that M-S? Is that Mississippi?
Missouri, I thought.
No, that's Mississippi. M-I-M-S? You let us know, girl. But thank you. All right. So now, in our 6 minutes, what I want to teach you is that the first person being released, we're already in heaven. The first thing that is released on the earth, okay, we're already gone. We've had a wedding ceremony. We've had a banquet. Now we're seeing the seals being opened, and now the Antichrist comes. So that means that the church is gone way before,
yes.
Or not way before, but at least 6 months before, mm-hmm. which Esther and Samuel tells us, at least 6 months before the tribulation even begins.
Yes.
And now when he comes, he's coming to do what? To conquer. You guys don't understand this one thing. Once we're taken out of the way, the Antichrist is not on the earth yet.
Right.
I mean, he hasn't taken control yet. But after about, you know, because once we're taken out, it's going to be like the days of Noah. There'll be 40 days of flood, meaning 40 days of trouble. There may be even up to 150 days of trouble until the whole thing calms down. And then once that Antichrist figure calms everything's thing down, then he'll come forth with a covenant for the world, which is what they say is a agreement of peace for 7 years. And with this agreement of peace, he's going to fool the whole nation. But in the middle of the covenant, it says in the middle of the covenant, the covenant is 7 years. In the middle of the covenant,
yes.
He is going to do what? Break that covenant. Okay. And break his promises that he made to Israel. Because Israel, because of the covenant, is going to allow him to rebuild a temple for them in Israel.
Yes.
And some people say, no, there won't be a temple in Israel. It's only a symbol of a temple. No, there's going to be a physical temple in Israel. The book of Revelation says that they will measure the temple and the altar and the holy place.
Yes.
So there will be a physical temple. Satan's goal is to sit in that temple,
yes.
and to proclaim to the world that he's God.
Yes.
He couldn't do it in heaven. He got kicked out. He said, I couldn't do it in the real Jerusalem, so I'll do it in the mini Jerusalem in Vegas. You know what I mean? You got New York, they got the Statue of Liberty. You got the real one in New York, and then you got a little one in Vegas. And so get the little one. So he's trying to proclaim himself to be God. But this is when the Jews say to him, no, we don't accept you. He becomes furious with Israel and commands all the nations of the world to come to war against Israel because they won't accept him as God.
Right.
Once they do that, now the whole world is this war for 3.5 years, it says, Daniel says, will last until Christ returns. And in that, God says he gives a place for the Jewish people to hide in the desert or wherever he has a place prepared for them to hide them from this flood of trouble,
yes.
that the Antichrist is going to pour out upon them.
Yes.
The plan is already here, you guys. You understand? So the next great event in the world, which we're not far from, because we're on 119th year of 120-year count, and next year we will be in the 120-year count since Psalms 1 began. And so as we're counting, you know, Pastor Ben,
yeah.
People say, Pastor Ben, Pastor Sandy, wouldn't we be a year late because first there was 1900, then there was 1901? No baby is born 1 year old. And nobody counts to 10 by saying 0, 1, 2, 3. You know, you. Okay, so please try to Ask me good questions. That's like a real bad question. So Psalms 1 gives you the first year, Psalms 2, Psalms 3, Psalms 4, and it repeats all the way up, giving you every significant thing that's going to happen in the nation of Israel up until the coming of the Lord and the return and his return in Psalms. Okay? Amen. So it's already been laid out for us. I'm going over this because I know that there's going to be somebody on YouTube, like the 14-year tribulation guy, which I have no idea why anybody's listening to him. But God has already laid out his plan. And I want you to be understanding of his plan so that nobody can come to you and give you a new plan saying, oh, the Antichrist is already here and he's doing things right now. Or you, as a church, you really shouldn't care who the Antichrist is because he won't be here anyway. Right.
Amen.
So but you don't want to hear a bunch of new stories and new lies about, you know, Christ. OK. And about his plan and all of this stuff. OK. Amen. So study that. Make sure you understand that. Make sure you understand when the exit is. Make sure you understand why it's set up that way. Then you'll see what's going on in the tribulation. We'll go over that next time. But I really can't explain to you everything's going on in the tribulation because it consists of a lot of Nephilim activity, a lot of war, a lot of disease, a lot of murder. And even if I read it to you and explained it to you, being there, I can't explain that to you, amen, but I can tell you how to escape.
Amen.
And that's Jesus Christ. That's okay. And a relationship with Jesus Christ, not a religion of Jesus Christ. So when you're in a relationship, you got to tweak your behavior. You know what I mean? Pastor Ben, you married?
Yes, sir.
When you got married, did you have to tweak your behavior?
Yes, I did.
When I got married, you know what? I couldn't hang out till 4 a.m. no more. You know what I mean? So when you're in a relationship, tweak your behavior. Make sure that you're doing the proper things to make a relationship work and that you're not taking advantage of God's grace. Praise God.
Praise God.
All right. Let's pray out. Thank you for that question. I don't get to explain the Trinity very often. There's more ways to even teach the Trinity that would blow your mind. That's why I want you to send me your email so I can send you even more, because then you can, if a Jehovah Witness came, you could show them in Scripture, like,
yes,
oh my God, Jesus was God, and they'll even be shocked. Okay, so let's pray out. Ya'ir Adonai panavilecha vechuneka, yi'aseh panavilecha ve'yasim l'kai shalom, ve'yasim l'kai shalom. And God said to Moses, when you speak to my people, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We love you guys. Listen, we love you guys. This is why we tell you the truth. This is why we're trying to keep you grounded in the Word of God so that people can't lie to you and pull you away from the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Leitriot Beshavua Haba or Beshamaim. And say hello to me on the way up if it should happen. Praise God.
Amen.
All right.